advice from one CEO to another, plus an update on the legality of the Corporate Transparency Act. Hey everyone, Adam Bergman here, tax attorney and founder of IRA Financial. And today's Adam Talks, some advice from one CEO to another. Tips and war stories from my 14 years running IRA Financial that I think and I know will help CEOs in any industry and space. And some interesting nuggets that I picked up along the way. So I've gotten a lot of people, you know, over the last year or so say, hey, Adam, you should give some advice. I mean, you built a company from zero to, you know, with 90 something employees, 3.3 billion in assets, 25,000 accounts. And I did it on my own, never raised any capital. I took all my life savings, borrowed some money from family, mortgaged my home, and built the business. And people have asked me, hey, you should kind of give people some advice, some tips. Like, how did you do it? What did you learn along the way? So I said, you know what? This is a really good time to do it. Let's do it. I feel like slow news. April 2024, before tax season. I say this is a perfect opportunity. So I jotted down 6 or 7 points that I think are super important that I wish I can go back in time and kind of tell myself these 6 things or 7 things, and I probably would have been able to build a business, you know, 5 times larger. So whether you're in software or hospitality or consulting, accounting, legal, any business, I think these 6 points will help you, especially if you are a CEO or operator or entrepreneur of a business. These are the items that I wish I knew when I started my business. So the first is surround yourself with smarter people than you. Okay. You may be the leader, the visionary of your business, but there's a lot that goes into running a business, whether it's digital marketing, accounting, finance, ops, sales, R&D, tech, logistics, lots of different things. You can't do it all yourself. Now, I'm not saying you need to go out and raise $1 million or $10 million to do it, but make sure the people you hire are smarter than you in those areas. Of course, as an entrepreneur or a leader of a business, I assume you have a specified and special skill, right? Maybe it's in sales or IT or software coding or cooking, whatever it is. There must be a skill that is important to you while you've started your business and built your vision, but make sure the people around you are smarter than you. Okay. And that brings me into point 2. Loyalty is overrated. I'm going to say it again. Loyalty is overrated. This is business. It's not family. It's not a daycare center. It's not charity. Hire the best people. And when they're not good enough, move on. Okay. That's something that I wish I did earlier. I had a lot of great people early on in the business and super smart, talented, and really helped the business grow. But once the business reaches a certain point, sometimes it just outpaces the skills of those folks. And I'm just a loyal person. My father once told me when I was younger, it's like, you only care about being liked and you're focused on your friends. They're going to get let down. You need to make decisions that are the best interest for you. And as a business leader, you need to make the best decisions, the best interest of your business, not your friendships. And unfortunately, I didn't learn my lesson. My dad taught me, and I kept people around that just tried their best, but just weren't good enough. And I knew it, but I didn't make the decision. Why? Because I was loyal. They're my friends. We talk about, you know, sports or politics or family. We go out socially. I like them. They like me. And it just became uncomfortable. And it cost me lots of money, growth, and even real dollars. Why? Because I was loyal and I knew those folks weren't good enough. I was scared to make the decision. Don't be scared. Okay. And that's the third thing. Don't be scared of change and don't be scared of the unknown, right? I had a situation where I needed to replace someone. I knew it for years. So if I replace that person, what's going to happen? They're embedded in the company. They are important to the business. They were here for a long period of time. They have a lot of institutional knowledge. Will people leave? What will happen if I, you know, move on from this person? But I knew this person was stymieing the growth of the business. And I just kind of like paused and didn't do anything and kind of in neutral. And again, it ended up costing the business. You can't be scared of the unknown. You can't be scared. You have to do what's right and what's in the best interest of the business, not what's in the best interest of the person. And what I found a lot of times after I made the move, you know what? The person was super relieved. They're like, I wish you did this earlier because I would have had better opportunities in my life at that period, 2 years or 3 years ago. I shouldn't be in this role. I know it. And you've just offered me so much relief by telling me. So you're actually doing yourself, the business, and the person a disservice by keeping the status quo when everyone knows it's not working. As a business owner, CEO, leader, you know it's not working. Trust me. The other person knows it as well. They're not stupid. So that, again, is all tied into loyalty is overrated. Surround yourself with smarter people. And sometimes that determination, how smart someone is, changes. It changes whether your business does 500,000 in revenue and then goes to 5 million and 20 million and 40 million in revenue. The level of wisdom and smarts changes. And it changes in direct correlation with how the business is growing. So someone could have been amazing and smart when you started, but 5 or 7 years later, it's just not the case anymore. And that's okay, right? Even, you know, sports, like nothing lasts forever. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, all these great, great, great leaders, eventually they move on too. So it's normal growth of a business to move on and grow and bring in new leadership. And that's something that's very hard to do. And that's why you are a leader, because you have to make those decisions. Don't do what I did for a bunch of years and be stuck in a quagmire, in a neutral, like literally stuck in quicksand, scared to make a decision because I was scared of the unknown. Don't do it. Dive right in it. You know what's right. And the person that you're going to have to make that tough decision on also knows what's right. Listen to your team, right? And that's why it's important to have smart people around you, people that you can trust, people that are not just going to say yes to you, people are going to give you an honest opinion. I had those people. In some cases, I just didn't listen. I just wasn't willing to listen because of my personal relationships. My loyalty clouded the truth. So listen to your team and stay entrenched, right? Whether you work remotely or in the company, you need to be entrenched and you need to be with the business. I think remote working is super overrated. I don't think you can grow a business remote working. Can you stay home on Fridays? Sure. Can you do one day at home? Yeah. If you are a leader of a business and you have an office of 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, and you're not showing up to work and the leaders are not showing up to work and everyone's working from home, it is very, very hard to grow. And your competitors will beat you if they are collaborating and are connected in the office. It's just the truth. And I think people are starting to realize that whether it's in New York, San Francisco, people are going to be pushed back to the office because it's hard to collaborate and be connected and grow and learn when everyone's, you know, on their couch, watching Netflix and in the background. It's just super tough. So that's something that we had to do because of COVID. But in one of my offices, we kind of stayed remote. My other offices, they were going to the office every day. And I just think the collaboration, the connectivity is so much more vibrant and important and directly correlates to the growth of that business because people are together. So that kind of are the things that I wish I knew. And it really is the three things. Loyalty is overrated. It just is. I'm sorry. We're not talking about a marriage. You should be loyal to your spouse and your family and your parents and your grandparents. This is business. This is not your personal life, okay? Don't be super loyal to someone in your business or a group of people because the loyalty is only hurting you, them, and the business. You should have the smartest people in that space, in that role that you can hire, okay? People matter. Why do companies, AI companies, why do they go to San Francisco and Silicon Valley to start? It's because that's where the technology software development talent is. Just the bottom line, you have to go where the talent is. People matter. One person could build a business, i.e. a Jobs or an Elon Musk, and one person could destroy a company, a cancer that spreads and lingers. I've seen it. Okay. People absolutely matter. For most of us, we're not selling an iPhone, right? That people have to have and need. But even the iPhone was developed by people and didn't just come from Mars. People built it. And if you had the wrong people building it, the iPhone wouldn't have been born. So it starts with people and it ends in people. Okay. Nothing is greater than the people you have with you. Surround yourself with smart people. Invest in your business, invest in people. It's the most important investment you'll make. And then again, it's why people work in New York in finance and Silicon Valley in tech. Just that's where the people are. And that's why the companies in those spaces grow and have the most success, because that is where the talent is. Talent wins, people win. It's all it is. Companies are names, they're shells, but it's the people in the company that are actually on the battlefield fighting, right? It's not Google versus Yahoo or Google versus AOL. No, it's the people in Google versus the people in AOL or Yahoo. And that's why Google won. They built a better product and they had smarter people that were driving the bus. And that's what I realized. You can't just bring someone into your business because you like them and say, you know what? Like, I know you're not good enough now, but if I only train you and give you more time, you're going to be good enough. No. As your business grows, it just gets more complex and more difficult and competition gets stronger. So when you know that person is over their skis, overwhelmed, and their skill set is not up to par, that's when you have to make the decision. Right? It's like sports. You have a quarterback that's just losing it, getting older, can't make those throws downfield. You love them. They won you a Super Bowl, but you got to move on. If you don't, you're going to lose your team. You're going to lose the respect of your team and you're going to lose. And your competition is going to beat you because they have a stronger quarterback and a stronger team and you don't. So a lot equates to sports. Sometimes you got to move on from great coaches. Sometimes you're not successful and staying with the same people just won't work. You got to make changes and you can't be scared. And I was. So you need to learn from me. I've had some good fortune in my life in business. I've also had some pretty bad fortune. Thankfully, because I had the right people around me, a little bit of luck, God blessed me a little bit. I was able to overcome some of these obstacles and hurdles and grow the business. I think the greatest gift I have is I love what I do and I'm passionate. But my biggest fault is sometimes I'm loyal, too nice, and surround myself, you know, with people I like and want to work with, even though they weren't the best at their jobs. And that is what hurt me. So going forward, that's just not a possibility. I've realized you have to separate friendship, business, loyalty, and business productivity. And if the person is your best friend, you love them, but they're not good at their job anymore, they're only hurting you, the business, and themselves because they need to be in a better role and a more suitable role, and it's not in your business. And for them to find that role, you're going to have to basically make that tough decision, which will at the end of the day help everyone because that person will then find their next calling and hopefully grow in that other role. And then you define someone that can replace the person that has more suitable and more needed skills. And then hopefully the business will grow. So that's it for this part of the podcast. I'll try to do more of this stuff. I've had a great run. It's been a lot of fun. There's a lot of growth and a lot of learning ahead of me. And I'm so excited for the future. I love what IRA Financial is about, how we're going to transform the way people retire and what we've done to help 25,000 people invest over $3.3 billion in alternative assets. Like, I'm super proud of that. And there's so much runway ahead. But man, if I just listened to this podcast 14 years ago, oh, wow. So hopefully, you guys can learn from this, learn from my mistakes, learn something from the good, the bad, what I encountered. You got to keep working, persevere, don't give up, right? It's like my wife says, you got two choices. You either quit or keep going. If you quit, then quit. Just close. If you're not going to quit, then stop complaining and persevere and go forward. The sun will rise again tomorrow. Get over your bad day, move on, go forward. But having smart people with you that can help row that boat in your direction and in the company's direction means everything. So there you go. I hope the tips were helpful. Hopefully you don't need any tips. These are tips that you had already in your toolkit and you're good to go and you're building a great business. But if not, please listen and learn. Don't make some of the mistakes I made. So I just want to touch on second part of this podcast is I mentioned the Corporate Transparency Act. There was an Alabama court that several months ago or a month ago on March 1st, actually, it was February, where a Alabama court basically stated that the Corporate Transparency Act was unconstitutional. It was National Small Business United versus Yellen. And they basically said, for a number of reasons, I did a podcast on this about a month ago, that they just overstretched. They didn't have the constitutional authority to create the CTA. And what the CTA is basically any new business, any new entity that's formed, within 90 days, you have to file a beneficial ownership interest report, a BOI report, with FinCEN. And it's a 25% or greater ownership, or anyone who has a substantial control over the entity, like a CEO or a CFO. And basically, you have to include the name, address, and certain other details about that individual. And this was a way for the government, federal government, to, they claim, combat terrorism and money laundering. But this Alabama state court basically said, no, you overstated your responsibility and you don't have the ability to do that. So what happened real quick is the U.S. Justice Department just appealed that court, the federal court. It's going to appeals. We'll see what happens. It could end up in the Supreme Court. But again, it's very important that you continue filing the BOI and the CTA as this case progresses along the path of the court process to ultimately potentially the Supreme Court. Don't just say it's potentially unconstitutional, not going to file. You need to keep filing. And we'll see what happens with that case. So there it is. Just a quick update on the CTA and the DOJ has appealed it. That's it. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Appreciate all the support. Thank you for listening. And I hope to see everyone again next week. Thanks and take care.